right. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Really Queen Radio. My name is Brian Kent, and we are coming to you live from San Francisco, California, and we have a huge show tonight. I have five guests sitting, six guests sitting in the studio today. I'm like one, two, three, four. Kind of
math is hard.
Math is really hard.
You're not a guest,
right? So tonight we have a really big show. So I thought, isn't that like who's used to say that? We have a really big show. A really big show. So hopefully we'll be able to get through this without all talking over each other. So it's like we haven't done it with this many people before. So this should be very exciting. So I don't know. I guess I should introduce you one at a time. We have Frank, who's been here before. Dickie, who's been here before. Joel's first time out of the bank. David Helton, who's been here before, and Jeff, who's here with David for the first time. So we're all just like sitting. Can you guys hear me out there?
We can.
That's amazing. Get right into that. Remember, Jeff showed you how to put that into your mouth. Really?
Yes.
Yeah. That's good. There you go.
No teeth.
No teeth.
Yeah. To the cord.
To the cord. So tonight we are going to be discovering this artist that was so big that I could not possibly do it in one session. So we're going to divide it into two sessions. If you're listening live, then you get to hear the whole thing in a row. If not, we'll do it into two podcasts. But if you've never been on Really Queen Radio before, this is live from San Francisco. As I said, my name is Brian Kent. We're here each week to explore a new musical artist that has helped to influence and inform the LGBTQ culture as we know it today. The show was basically born out of a conversation that I had with a friend of mine. We were out. We were on the dance floor, and a song came on, and he was like, "Who is this?" And I said, "This is Sylvester." And he said, "Who's that?" And I said, "Really, Queen?" yeah, right. Actually, what I said was,
"Queen."
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. But and I recorded it. So yeah, it that's how this started. So I thought, you know, let's do a show where we can kind of educate the children, as it were. If you want to call in during the show, you can call in at 415-550-0511. We're also on Instagram at Really Queen Radio, and our website is reallyqueenradio.com, where you can find all of our podcasts and updated information. All right, are you guys ready?
Yes.
I'm like six people. All right. So we're going to be concentrating. Well, I'll explain more about how we're going to approach this artist since this artist is so big. But I'm going to play a song that I think is iconic with her. So here we go. Obviously, we all know who that is.
Gaga?
Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's Lady Gaga. So, yeah. So, it is obviously Madonna. Madonna Louise.
What?
Veronica. Madonna.
Veronica, which is her her Catholic name, I guess, that she was given. Obviously, you know, we know who she is. And the thing about this artist that's different than most artists we do is even younger kids know who Madonna is, right? Mm. But the difference here is that, you know, there's older stuff. I was actually out and I played, I think it was Borderline. And a friend of mine was like, "Wait, who is this, Madonna?" And I was like, yeah, this is Madonna. So, you know, they don't know the early stuff. They know, I don't even know what year you would say, you know, children of the 90s, where they start.
Red Light.
Well, you got to get right into it. What's that?
I would think Ray of Light.
Maybe Ray of Light would be the first one.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So the stuff Frozen like onward. Her first Madonna album, like the songs that were after that, the second.
I don't know, True Blue is pretty hot.
True Blue is pretty hot, but I think definitely the first one. I was kind of surprised that they didn't know what Borderline was. So let me just give you a little background on her if you don't know all of her background, because we're going to discover some really interesting things about her. She's 60 years old now. She's an American singer, songwriter, actress, businesswoman. They call her the Queen of Pop since the 1980s. And she's always been known for pushing boundaries and different imagery on stage. You know, she's had lots of controversial stuff happen in her career.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. She sold over 300 million records worldwide, and she's noticed as the best-selling female recording artist of all time by the Guinness Book of World Records. That's pretty impressive, right?
That's pretty impressive.
The Recording Industry Association of America listed her as the second highest certified female in the U.S. with 64.5 album units. I mean, that's huge. She's the most successful solo artist in the Hot 10 100 chart history. She's also the highest grossing solo touring artist of all time, accumulating almost $1.4 billion from her concert tickets.
Well, those tickets are expensive.
They are expensive.
That's not hard when they each cost half a billion.
Can you imagine $1.4 billion in concerts? Bitch made a lot of money. She was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in her first year of eligibility, and she topped VH1's countdown of the top 100 greatest women in music. And also Rolling Stone listed her as the 100 greatest artists of all time and the 100 greatest songwriters of all time. So she has she's
doing things.
When I was researching her, I'm like, how do you possibly get this into 2 hours? There's no way. It's 25 years of material, and there's just no.
She's done so much.
So I think we want to focus, I think, on the earlier years, because I think that's the part that needs more educating than the Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
You only got 4 minutes to save the curl.
We have 2 hours.
What's that? Yeah, well, that was me and Bianca Del Rio's joke. We were on a bus going to Long Island out to Fire Island, and we were pretending that we go, you only got 4 minutes to save the car, and then you grab the crimping iron and you go, it's hot, it's hot, it's hot. Yeah, so
were you drinking?
Oh, were we drinking? We were on every drug known to man. What do you mean? We were on the LARR. What the fuck do you think we were doing? So Madonna was born and raised in Michigan. She moved to New York City in 1978 to pursue a career in dance, and she actually had a dance scholarship to the University of Michigan that she gave up to go to New York. She had no money. And guess where she worked in New York? That's her first job. One of her first jobs in New York.
I know she did a little modeling at one point.
She did some nude modeling, yes, for sure. Do you know where she worked?
Was it a donut shop?
Yes, it was Dunkin' Donuts. She worked at Dunkin' Donuts. Can you imagine?
Yes, I want to imagine.
Just her behind the counter at Dunkin' Donuts.
She's like, here's your strawberry sprinkles.
Right. She was taking classes at Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater. Eventually went on to perform with a dance company. And this is a quote from her. She said, it was the first time I'd ever taken a plane, going to New York. And see, the first time I ever gotten in a taxi cab, I came here with $35 in my pocket. It was the bravest thing I'd ever done. And then she started to work as a backup dancer for a lot of different artists. So she claimed one night, this is a story that she told, that one night when she was leaving a dance rehearsal, a pair of men held her at knife point and forced her to perform fellatio. I didn't know that.
So hasn't had that happen?
Sexual assault?
Why not me? that's hashtag why not me. That's my new movement.
Leave the knife alone.
No. I don't know. Have you had that happen, David or Jeff?
I hold the knife.
Oh, it's role play. Okay, I got it. I love it.
I have made billions in concert tickets, but I don't think I've been in that situation.
Yeah, billions. She later found out, she later decided that this incident was a display of weakness for her, so she, because she couldn't save herself despite of her strong girl show, so she said she could never forget it. So it motivated her. Her rape motivated her to become kind of strong and what she was doing. So when she was performing as a backup singer and dancer for this French disco artist, his name was Patrick Hernandez. Sounds super French, doesn't it? On his 1979 world tour, Madonna became romantically involved with Dan Gilroy, and they lived together in this abandoned synagogue in Corona, Queens. She lived in an abandoned synagogue in Queens.
Like a prayer.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. You got it. If you want to talk, you got to talk. It's like being in the middle doesn't work. Just one of you pick the mic. It's just
thick way out here.
All right. So so they lived there in this thing, and together they formed their first rock band. Do you know what the name was?
Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club. Right. It was the Breakfast Club. And she played what instrument? Anybody know? I just learned this.
Drums.
She was the drum. Look, we got.
We know this because there's a scandal going on right now.
Wait, tell me what.
If you look on Instagram, look under the Breakfast Club. There's a Madonna look-alike, and I mean look-alike. This bitch looks just like her. She's released a film about Madonna's early years. Madonna's pissed about it.
No way. Yeah,
and if you look, I'm not kidding, her on Instagram, she recreates all Madonna's old photos, and they look exactly like her.
Wow.
Crazy.
Wow. That's crazy. So is it a legal thing? Is she suing him or something?
Well, I don't think she's suing them because she had a romantic relationship with a guy producing the documentary.
Yeah.
And he's already consulted his lawyers and they said, hey, this is his story to tell. So he could still tell
his version
of what happened.
Wow. So I was trying to remember the song that she's played drums on, the first big song that was successful by them, and it was called Right on Track. Do you remember that? So I say we have to listen to this now, right? Because I want to hear A, that Madonna's playing drums on this, okay, and two, that this is her like first kind of like track or whatever. So, anyways, listen to this. Okay, can you like even handle that? I love that you're like, oh, it sounds like a drum track that Madonna.
Just her playing a drum machine.
I know.
Just like two fingers.
It sounds like every 80s movie montage.
That's how she's playing. That's hysterical. Jeff's with us now, right? Are you with us, Jeff? Oh, no, I have to do, there you go.
He's not with us.
Try it one more time. Okay, we have to fix that on the next break. I don't know. I didn't do that on purpose, I swear to God. I promise you I did not do that on purpose. So let's go on. Let's learn a little bit more. So in 1980, or it was like 1980 when she left the Breakfast Club, and she, with her then boyfriend Stephen Bray, who was a drummer, formed the band Emmy. Did you know she was in a band named Emmy? I never even heard of them. I didn't even know this. So they began writing together. Madonna decided to promote herself as a solo act, so that ended. And her music impressed a DJ so much, record producer Mark Chemis, who arranged a meeting between Madonna and Sire Records. And that's kind of how that whole thing happened. So after she signed this singles deal, so she started this first singles deal that said that she would do 3 singles. And then if it did well, then they would go from there. So her single debut, Everybody, remember Everybody, was on the first album, was released in October of 1982. And they offered her, Sire Records offered her $5,000 advance plus $1,000 in royalties for each song that she wrote. Can you think? Just think about that for a minute.
Were you even born yet?
Like she was $5,000. She got $6,000 for a song. I mean, obviously she made more money later in other ways, but for the actual royalties on the song, you got $6,000. That was that big. So, anyways, the song, the second song was "Burning Up."
I love it.
Wasn't that an awesome song? Is that your favorite song?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what Madonna, we're going to find out in a minute what Madonna's favorite song and see if you could do that. But both became big hits, and she started developing an album, the main album now, with producer Reggie Lucas, who she ended up having some falling outs with later on. But she wasn't really happy with the tracks that she had done with him, so she didn't like his techniques is what she said, so she decided to seek help. So do we know who she sought help from?
Jelly Bean.
Remember Jelly Bean? I always wondered when I was younger, I knew that he had something to do with her, but I didn't really know what it was. But he basically finished the album's production and he remixed most of the tracks and produced Holiday, which was her third single, the first song that we heard. And then Burning Up was released as a B-side to Physical Attraction, which is also a fucking, that whole album is like, just, I don't know, it just brings me back to that time. So I was gonna play. Oh yeah, actually I am gonna play. So this is the song Burning Up, released as the B-side. The song was given mixed reviews from critics and authors in the beginning. They said it was like, they said the song was darker and had this urgent composition. Yeah, she's burning up. That's urgent.
She's so urgent. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
you're on fire.
If you're on fire, that's urgent. It's good for you. Yeah. Now I know why you're a critic. But they did praise its dance beats. You know what I mean? So let's just listen to this dark.
Turn the tape over.
Urgent. This dark urgent music. Mm-hmm. that, like, so there's people that don't know what that song
is. That song still makes me, like, bop in my chair.
And it's weird to think that there's actually people that don't know what that song is. And I'm just, are you back, Jeff?
People are done.
Are you back, Jeff? Oh my God, poor Jeff.
Poor Jeff.
Jeff is.
I feel like you're doing that on purpose.
I am not doing that on purpose. Yeah. I am not.
What's
that
blinking red light next to the name Jeff on your board?
Is Jeff even here?
Jeff. Who's Jeff? So her debut album, Madonna, was released in 1983, and it peaked at number 8 on the Billboard charts. 6 months later, in 1984, it yielded 2 top 10 singles, Borderline and Lucky Star, which, you know, Borderline is like, I don't know, that's a pretty damn good song. Yeah. Oh, that whole album, you can't go wrong.
But collectively that's in this room, let's just do a head count. How many people bought it on cassette tape?
Oh,
more than once, because you lost it or it got eaten by the machine. And how many bought it on CD?
Oh, sure.
How many downloaded it on iTunes?
I did it today.
Everyone can hear us raising our hands.
I know.
We're all raising our hands.
Can all of my listeners see us raising our hands?
We're on a live stream. Right?
That sound is Frank eating chips.
Don't do that.
But to the sound of Madonna.
Yeah, don't do that. Too much. In 1982, she was working with producer Reggie Lucas on her debut album. And like we said, I was just saying before, she composed those 3 songs, and Lucas brought one of his own, which was Borderline. However, after recording the song, Madonna was very unhappy with the final version, and she felt that Lucas used just too many instruments and did not listen to her for her ideas for the song. And so this led to a dispute between the two. And basically, she's like, you know, I'm done. So he left the project and without changing any of the stuff that she wanted him to change. So Madonna brought in Jelly Bean again, remixed Borderline and the other 2 tracks. And then after hearing the final version, the head of Psy Records was like, you know, I dared to believe the song. I know you were going to be huge. And, you know, it made a difference what
Jelly
she did.
Jelly Bean again.
Jelly Bean.
Saving the day.
Jelly Bean comes in again. So, I mean, but think that she was smart enough to know that at that time, that's what she, you know, that's what it needed. It needed something different. So I think, you know, kudos to her for doing that. But this song, you can't. Aww. I don't know. I know. Everyone's just
so much nostalgia.
We just got real quiet. We're gonna see if we can help Jeff out again today. Try one more. So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely by far. What's that?
That's the remix.
It was a remix.
One of the first artists to understand the value of a remix.
Of a remix and what it was all about. Well, yeah. Jelly Bean was.
Well, yeah. Actually, she went to Shep Pettibone to do her remixes. So
did Shep really? Shep worked
for her? Yeah, Shep did a lot of her early remixes. So she was the first person to actually re-record stuff just for the dance club.
Wow, because, you know, Shep owns that bar out in New Jersey that I used to go to. What's it called?
Hooters?
The Hooters. It's like Empress or something. It's some really gay name, but it's a bar out there, and he plays out there a lot, and it's he's pretty legendary, actually. I just didn't realize that he was working with Madonna. So, you know, her popularity continued to grow, and her second album, Like a Virgin, came out in November of 1984, and it became her first number one in Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Spain, the UK, and the US, all at the same time. And it became the very first album by a female to sell over 5 million copies in the US. And it was later certified diamond because it had sold over 21 million copies worldwide. So that was like her real bust in. The album's title track served as its first single, and it topped the 100 chart for 6 consecutive weeks. And it attracted the attention. I mean, this was like a song that was, you know, caused a lot of controversy. It attracted the attention of conservative organizations who were complaining about that the song, you know, its accompanying video promoted premarital sex, and everyone's laughing here, and it undermined family values, and the moralists sought to have the song and video banned from MTV. But she received huge coverage from this. Remember, what was it? It was the 1984...
The very first MTV Movie Award.
Video Award. Wedding dress?
Well, that was the first one that happened. One. Yeah, and she wore the wedding dress and the white gloves. And she
rolled
she was
around
on
the stage.
I was once hired to recreate that.
She was on top of a giant cake, which
cool.
I've done before at weddings.
Yeah,
totally. I'm available if anyone like to
hire me.
You
weren't asked, but
we
I wasn't
actually
asked.
Walked down.
We actually walked
down the aisle to Like a Virgin.
Yeah. Wait. Okay. Yeah. Oh. Hold on. I was getting there. Damn. He stole my thunder. Spoiler. So these guys just got married two weeks ago. 1 week ago. 1 week ago.
11 days.
You're going to have to share. I don't know. Hold on. Just to go again.
Is it really not working?
There it is. Okay. Now it's
Jeff. Oh, he got him. Jeff just got here.
Oh, Jeff just got here.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for joining us.
Good night, everyone.
Yeah.
You're late.
So these guys got married, I think it's almost 2 weeks ago. It took a week and a half. And their wedding was freaking awesome. So here's the thing. I sent you a text. I said, if you're going to get married, like, and you're going to have a wedding, that's how you do it. You don't. None of this bullshit. None of this, like, sappy, you know.
Here comes the bride.
God. So, like, the wedding starts and they play Like a Virgin.
Yes.
Seriously, and they walk down the aisle to Like a Virgin.
It was a ballad version.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, this is how you know you're marrying the right person. When we're planning the wedding and Jeff's like, what should we walk down the aisle to? I'm like, well, an all black choir singing Madonna's Like a Virgin. And he was like, oh yeah, for sure. Like, we never, there was no hesitation. So that was kind of like, all right, we're in this for the long haul.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty. And then you also, not to totally digress, but you also had them sing the theme song to Laverne and Shirley.
Those were my vows, yeah.
That was his vows. Wow. Like the gospel choir started singing.
In sickness and in health, Shlemiel.
Shlemazel. Basically, that's exactly what happened.
That's awesome.
Yeah, our parents were not clear with what was happening. Pretty much, my family is Georgia, his Wisconsin, Republicans. So they got a healthy dose of Madonna at our wedding.
But at the end, they did say that it couldn't have been more us. Yeah, so. True.
Well, I mean, it couldn't have been. I mean, it was perfect. I mean, we were laughing, we were crying.
You were fucking drinking because we're still going to be paying that off for the next 6 months.
That was the free. They had little things of free cocaine at every spot. It was such a sweet.
That's lovely.
It was wig heads.
However, they did have dollar bills placed at every place setting so that you could tip the drag queen.
Oh, that's genius. It wasn't for the cocaine.
These were origami jewels. Dollar bills.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh my God. So, I mean, we have to play this now because it is your wedding song and it's
our song.
It's your song. All right, let's listen up.
Yeah, you made
So we were just we were talking about what age group knows what songs by Madonna. Now I'm sure obviously you know this song. You know Like a Virgin, right? So Justin's here. Justin's a little bit younger than I'm also the next oldest, and then everyone else is older. So
what?
In bizarre world. Opposite day much?
Yeah, right. Oh look, we're getting a photo. Let's do a little trivia on Madonna. So don't all scream at once, but what do you think? What was Madonna's worst and or least favorite and favorite song?
Her personal.
You got to get closer.
Of all time, or just on this first?
Of all time, what was her favorite song of all time, and her least favorite song of all time? I mean, we're going out of order in what we're learning, but. Oops, sorry.
Shut up.
Turning him off.
She hates Material Girl.
That is correct. She hates.
Is that her least favorite?
She hates Material Girl. And I think you're on now. I promise. I'm pretty sure. Are you on?
No.
There you are.
There you are.
Oh my God, what's happening? Go ahead, do it again.
How about now?
There you go. Yay. Okay. God, I'm so sorry, Jeff. This is not on purpose.
Sure it's not.
I swear to God.
Why are your fingers crossed?
Okay, so what?
Was her favorite song Ray of Light?
Her favorite song was not Ray of Light.
What Shanti album? Shanti.
No.
No? That's so weird.
Yeah.
Oh.
It seems the natural
that's
choice.
That's like the natural choice.
Was it the one that she wrote about her daughter, the little
Dear
star?
Dear Jesse?
No, her favorite song. And then you're going to be like, when I say it, you're going to be like, oh, of course it is.
Vogue?
Bitch, I'm Madonna.
Oh.
No.
It is. That's what she said.
That's her favorite song.
That's what she said in an interview. I'm telling you that's what she said. All right, so one more question. What is Madonna's, what is her favorite body part on her? What does she love? What body part does she love and what body part does she hate?
She loves her dick.
She loves her dick. Yes.
Now the microphone works.
She's now it works. Great.
Does she like her belly button?
I don't think it's her hands.
No. Her favorite part of her body
her
is
beauty mark.
Is her eyes.
Oh.
And her worst part that she hates the most because she was a dancer.
Her feet.
She hates her feet.
Oh, I feel that.
I know, right? Were you a dancer?
Yeah.
For 16 years, I saw the worst feet.
I have used your picture as my cover profile.
Square toes, crooked bunion ass feet. Not mine.
From go-go dancing or
ballet tap go-go.
Ballet and tap. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was
point shoe feet. Gross.
Yeah, there's an amazing picture of you. Material Girl was released in January of 1985 on the Sire label as the second single from the album, and it was written by Peter Brown and Robert Ranz, and the producer was Nile Rodgers, who was the first time that she actually worked with Nile Rodgers.
Chic,
exactly. Madonna explained that the concept of the song was indicative of her life at the time, and she liked it because she felt it was provocative. It reached number 2 on the Hot 100 and was promoted by a music video, which, I mean, most of us know what this video is, but it was basically Marilyn Monroe's performance of Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend from the 1953 movie Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. And while filming this video, she started to date actor Sean Penn. And then they married on her birthday. So let's. I think we should totally play.
They walk down the aisle to Like
a Virgin. They walk down the aisle to Like a Virgin. I think we should totally play her least favorite song, because it just kind of makes sense.
Somebody kiss me, somebody
Yeah. I think that should have been, that's going to be my, that's going to be my wedding song.
Material Girl.
That'll be my divorce song.
Right, well, right? That makes perfect. Well, that now that would be kind of amazing if he showed up at your lawyer's office just with that song on a boombox.
Black box. Acapella choir slowly singing.
And she gets the settlement. Oh my God, that's hysterical. So Madonna made her mainstream film debut, or entered mainstream, I should say, in February of 1985 with a brief appearance as a club singer in Vision Quest. Mm-hmm. I don't think I knew that originally.
It was on the soundtrack.
Shut up. Crazy for you.
Mm. I know the song, but I don't think I knew that it was in that movie.
Matthew told you I'm much underwear.
Yeah, I'm much younger than you. I don't know all these
really
things.
Queen.
Really queen.
Sorry, keep
really
laughing.
Queen.
What? Why?
I don't know. Really queen.
Sorry, you turned my mic on.
What? I turned your mic off. So Vision Quest, and obviously the song was Crazy for You, and another track, Gambler, which I have no idea what that track is, but they both came from the film. I'm kidding. Look at her. Look at
Jeff's eyes are.
He is. He's just like bopping out of his thing.
I'm taking over the show.
Yeah.
Do you know? So, thing that I liked the most about Crazy for You was, for me, it's a memory of the first time that I can remember when I was gay and actually could sing a song about another guy. And like the song worked, like for me, because it was Madonna, and I didn't feel like I had to, like, you know, when you know a song is about a girl and then you change it, or you know that it's right. not supposed to be, because it's a guy singing and you're like, oh, he's singing about a girl. And somehow Madonna singing about it made me feel like I, because, you know, I was a girl. So it was easy for me to like relate to it.
We get it.
Because she was singing about a boy, right?
Gay?
Right. She was singing about a boy. And so I felt like, oh, I could sing about a boy. And it was just, I mean, I just hear this and I just start to go, oh my God. High school and smoky air.
Black and white TV.
Black and white TV. Horse and buggy.
Horse and carriage. Horse they and, just figured out fire.
Horse and buggy. Oh my God. I swear to God, I'm being tortured here in the studio by these people. They're like, wait, you were in high school during the song? Really? No, girl. I had 6 kids. I was out of college. But yeah, it was, you know, I thought that song was kind of something special to sign. And then she played the title role in the 1985 comedy Desperately Seeking Susan, a film which introduced the song Into the Groove, which is one of my favorite all-time Madonna songs. And was it Rosanna?
Rosanna Arquette.
Arquette was in it, right?
Yeah.
As well as, fun fact,
you're not on the kidding.
As well as the 3 identical strangers, those brothers that were just in the documentary, they were in it as well.
Oh, they were? Oh, look at you. I'm so glad you came in tonight. Sorry,
people
I didn't
get
have
so
you mic prop.
I dry my armpits.
I'm so glad you called in.
Yeah, you're calling in.
I thought we would have a better time.
Poor Jeff.
So that movie actually kind of pushed her in, you know, had this was a vehicle for her to even though she didn't get lead billing in the movie, the critics basically said it was one of the 10 best films of 1985. That
which was a shitty year for movies.
Which obviously, because it was not that great of a movie. I mean, it was okay, but it wasn't like a great film.
It was probably her best, though.
Well, that doesn't make it a great film for 1985, though, right? Like, I mean, I don't know. don't know. I mean, it was so the song "Into the Groove" was written by and produced by Madonna and her boyfriend at the time. And she, this is an interesting quote that I read from her. She described the song as dorky, and she explained what the song was about. She's like, when I was writing it, she goes, I was sitting in a fourth floor walk up on Avenue B, and there was this gorgeous Puerto Rican boy sitting across me from me, and all I wanted to do was go out on a date with him, and I just wanted to get the song over with. I ultimately did go out with him, and the song was finished just before my last date with him, which I'm kind of happy that it did not continue. She's so articulate. The dance floor was quite a magical place for me. I started off wanting to be a dancer, so that had a lot to do with the song. The freedom that I always feel when I'm dancing, the feeling of inhabiting your body, letting yourself go, expressing yourself through music. I always thought of it as a magical place, even if you're not taking ecstasy. Okay, whatever. Sure. Hence, that came to me as the primary inspiration for Into the Groove.
Mm. I feel like you should be. I feel like you should be reading these in a British accent.
No. Oh right. Yeah. Did she have? Did she get her accent around then?
No.
No, it was later.
During Evita.
With the guy. Ritchie.
That was during Evita when she was studying Ava Perón. It was like, so it's definitely one of my favorite Madonna songs for sure. And I play the music video all the time at the Edge on Fridays, Beards and Booze Happy Hour 5 to 9. Make sure you join
what
us.
What is that? That sounds good. Oh,
wow. Watch your toes.
Joel is also a DJ on that night when I'm out of town or whatever, or who knows.
Which is most of the time.
You can dance.
I know, right?
New York is soon, right?
Inspiration.
Oh, Madonna's here now.
Oh, love the song.
Come on.
So we were just recalling, Joel just reminded me of something. What were you saying, Joel?
Oh, just the Like a Prayer album that's about to come out after these songs we're talking about now had a specific scent to it. So when you open the cassette for the first time, you could smell the album.
Yeah, I mean, and it smelled like patchouli, you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Patchouli.
Hmm. I'd be so mad.
Yeah.
I hate patchouli. I'd be so mad.
For us older folk, patchouli.
Like a prayer, there was a different scent.
I clearly bought the knockoff version at the flea market.
It's only Curve.
Mine smell like McDonald's.
Oh my God. Yours would smell like McDonald's.
More tape cleaner.
Mine would, mine would be beans, Mexican food, something.
My leg of prayer album smelled like beans.
I would have been so excited.
The album just called Like a Prayer.
You just smell the album. Like you just smell the album and you fart. It's just like it just instant.
And you pray.
Sorry. Wow.
So beginning in April of 1985, she started her first concert tour in North America called the Virgin Tour, and she was on tour with the Beastie Boys. Remember that? I remember that. They were opening act, and the tour basically saw the peak of this new craze called the Madonna wannabe. Do you remember the Madonna wannabes?
Oh, yeah.
I was one of the...
Oh, where you just wear black lace everything?
Oh, my God.
All kinds of bracelets.
I thought Madonna was the shit. I saved up my money and bought the Virgin Tour on VHS. For those of you who don't know, Google it. A VHS.
What a VHS
is? I literally wore it out. It literally broke in the machine. I played it over and over and over and over until it just broke in the machine.
Wow.
So then I took it back and demanded my money back because I'm like, there's something wrong with this tape.
He's from Georgia.
There's something wrong with
this
tape.
They're like, it's semen on it.
Yeah, it didn't last 20,000 views.
Oh my God. So there was obviously a lot of female attendees that dressed like Madonna, like yourself. Oh, yeah. And at that time, she released two. Thank you. Thank you for. She also released two more hits, Angel and Dress You Up. And it's making all four singles from the album peak in the top five on the 100 chart. In July of 1985, I don't know if you remember this little scandal. Well, not really a scandal, but Penthouse and Playboy magazines published a number of nude photos of Madonna that were taken in New York in 1978 when she was doing that for money because she didn't have any money. And she had posed for photographers, and she was paid as little as $25 a session. But she was working at Dunkin' Donuts also, so obviously she didn't pay for coffee or donuts. And the publication of the photos caused this crazy uproar, but she remained like unapologetic and defiant. I'm not ashamed, exactly. Yep. And the photos were ultimately sold for guess how much? It's pretty astronomical. $100,000 for a fucking photo that she got $25 for. That's to do.
We have a whole phone full of those.
Right, yeah. Right, girl? you just don't have that career yet. But
those cities.
That's how much my growler photos go for.
Your growler photos? That's Bitcoin, honey. It's totally different.
They've all got the hairy armpits. It's fine.
And that's
so
a giant bush.
She referred to these events in 1985 during her charity concert at Live Aid, saying that she would not take her jacket. She was at the Live Aid concert. And she's like, I'm not going to take my jacket off because the media might hold this against me 10 years from now.
Right.
It was like so stupid. Just shortly after that, in 1986, she released her third solo album or studio album. Called True Blue, which was inspired and dedicated to Sean Penn. Rolling Stone magazine was pretty impressed with it, and they basically said that whole album came from her heart, so I guess it was something about... But there was five singles that came off of that album. So we had Live to Tell, Papa Don't Preach, True Blue, Open Your Heart, and La Isla Bonita. All of which reached number one in the United States and the UK. And the album charted in 28 countries worldwide. So, I mean, it was definitely one of her bigger ones. She sold over 25 million copies and... Excuse me, I'm the only one comfy.
Don't you have a button for that?
I know what I think I do, but I don't know which one it is. I'll turn Jeff on when
or
I
my
cough.
My volume back up or something.
Just tell me when you want to cough and we'll...
Perfect. Yeah, you and one of my other guests kept getting crazy with that one week. The True Blue was featured in the 1992 edition of Guinness World Records as the best-selling album by a woman of all time.
That's cool. Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And this is one of the songs that was from the album that I don't know. It's one of my favorite ones for sure from this album. So let's have a listen.
Down and cry.
One is such a lonely number.
Yet you survive.
First she offered me a key, and now she's just saying...
By lock, she means vagina.
I'm not going to be there. Your one is a lonely number.
You know what's so weird? With each of these songs that you're playing, all I can envision is the music video. I feel like, you know, a lot of us here came from that sort of MTV video era where the song, immediately you attach every little element of like, oh, I remember in the video when she did this. And
you're totally right. And, you know, the interview that I'm going to play a little bit later, she talks about that because they're like, why, you know, is it important to have a video? And she's like, yeah, I mean...
She's such a visual artist. She said
it basically allows people to see what I'm thinking when I'm writing the song.
Yeah, totally.
It kind of gives it like exactly what you just said. It sets
up
that.
And for you younger viewers, MTV used to show music videos.
What? Yeah. I sort of feel like there was an interview with Madonna where she said that M stands for Madonna, not music television. I feel like there was an interview
it's
where
Madonna
she...
Madonna television.
Michael, said, yeah. Madonna, what did they do?
So Madonna started... She starred in the critically panned film called Shanghai Surprise. Do you remember that?
No,
she was so bad that she received her first Golden Raspberry Award for Worst Actress.
Oh.
But that wasn't her worst movie.
Awkward.
It wasn't her only one.
Well, this is her first one.
Yeah, the first worst.
It was her first one.
Body of Evidence is coming.
So, in January of 1999, she signed an endorsement deal with soft drink manufacturer Pepsi, the same one that lit Michael Jackson on fire. And in one of her Pepsi commercials, she debuted Like a Prayer, the lead single from her fourth studio album of the same name. And the music video featured many, obviously, Catholic symbols, for those of you who don't know it, such as a stigmata, which is the nickname I call one of my good friends, and cross burning, a dream of making love to a saint, leading the Vatican to condemn the video. Religious groups were all over the place. They were freaking out. They were trying to boycott Pepsi, and Pepsi revoked the commercial and canceled her sponsorship contract. But despite all that, Like a Prayer topped the charts in many countries, becoming her seventh number one on the Hot 100, which is, you know, when you get that kind of publicity, it doesn't really matter.
It's a great song.
She co-wrote, co-produced it, and you know who worked on this with her? What famous... musician worked on this with her?
Jesus.
Brian Kent?
Brian Kent.
No.
Brian Kent.
So, Like a Prayer, she co-wrote and co-produced it with Patrick Leonard, Stephen Bray, and Prince.
Oh.
Prince was involved in that one, which doesn't surprise me.
Well, even more importantly, the man who played Jesus Christ in the video is Cynthia from Real Housewives of Atlanta's baby daddy.
That is deep facts.
That is some deep stuff. Like a Prayer peaked at number one on the Billboard 200 and sold 15 million copies worldwide. So we're just going to give this a moment and just envision burning crosses and stigmatas.
Running through a field with black hair.
You already were. Oh, the good days. Just Like a Prayer, you know, I'll take you there.
You will.
That's what my uncle told me.
What? Oh, excuse me?
What?
Shows on told me the guys. Same thing.
Let's take
this,
a turn.
This is not a family-friendly show.
Clearly not.
Apparently it is, Uncle.
Wow.
Oh.
Every one of you looked at me and basically just said,
"Really, Queen?"
I was like, "Okay. Okay, girl." So we're gonna wrap up this first half with talking about one of my also favorite songs, not the favorite, but the other successful single from this album was "Express
Born
Yourself."
This way?
And oh. Right. "Express Yourself" and "Cherish." No, it's "I Am What I Am." That's my favorite song. They both peaked at number 2 in the U.S. And you know what's funny? She won at one point. She actually was she got some recognition for being the most the artist with the most number 2s. I read it like that, and I was like, "Oh shit, that doesn't sound good."
Oh shit,
ladies and gentlemen, the artist with the most number 2s, Madonna.
Sorry, Mariah.
I came in second place.
I know, right? So, "Express Yourself" was released with "The Look of Love" from the 1987 film track "Who's That Girl." Remember
love
that?
Love that movie.
On its B-side, when Madonna started to work on "Like a Prayer," she considered a lot of options, and you know, throughout the musical direction for it, she was trying to figure out exactly where she wanted to go. But she was going through her troubled relationship with her then ex-husband Sean Penn and her family, and she, you know, the loss of her mother, and she was even questioning her belief in God. I mean, I would too after the stigmata situations. But or if you do believe in him, you're not going to go far with him. I mean, that's certainly the case. Madonna thought about all these cool lyrical ideas with topics, and she was like, you know, personal meditation. She was just trying to figure out like where she was going, and she came to the realization that she and her fans were growing up, and it was time to take her music in a direction that didn't just appeal to teens, and that, you know, was something that would be have more longevity with her sound and audience. So she wanted to have this new sound that would be, you know, she wanted to be calculated about it and indicative of what was fashionable, and kind of ride that trend of changing music. So she began to consider a lot of different alternatives, and her producer, again, Patrick Leonard and Stephen Bray, began to tinker around with different sounds. And "Express Yourself" was the first song that Madonna and Bray collaborated on for "Like a Prayer." It was co-written and co-produced as a tribute to American funk and soul band Sly and the Family Stone.
Oh, lovely.
Right? So the main inspiration behind the song is female empowerment. It's urging women never to go for second best and to put their love to the test, mm-hmm. as it goes. So there's this quote from Madonna before we get into the song and finish out our first half. It says, this is a quote from her: "The ultimate thing behind the song is that if you don't express yourself, if you don't say what you want, then you're not going to get it. And in effect, you are chained down by your inability to say what you feel or go after what you want. No matter how in control you think you are about sexuality in a relationship, there's always the power struggle. Always a certain amount of compromise, of being beholden if you love them. You do it because you choose to. No one puts the chain around this neck but me. I wrote 'Express Yourself' to tell women around the world that pick and choose is best for yourself, right? To do what you want to do. Before that chain is around your neck, kills you instead. It's my take on how a man can express what they want, and the same prerogative should be there for women too." Mm-hmm. Kind of an interesting take on a song. So,
and an amazing music video too.
It's an amazing music video.
David Fincher directed.
He did, and we have a friend that may be calling into the show who always requests this video on Fridays at the Edge, Spirits and Boots Happy Hour from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m.
And he just told me he loves "Born This Way."
He just did. Yeah, I saw it.